our difficulties, who can understand all our problems, so that there is an unprecedented peace will govern our hearts and our mind. Let's kneel down for prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord of Sabbath, we bow down before you and worship you, Lord. You are the only one who should be worshipped. And we thank you for our spare life. Oh dear Lord, we thank you. What a wonderful Sabbath school that we had. And the lesson study that really encouraged us to stand as witness for you. Though the sword come to our neck, but still, dear Lord, please give us the strength so that we cannot keep quiet, but rather take your name on high, Lord. At this moment, I bring your people unto your hand. God, we completely have a great conviction that you bend down from your throne and embrace us and ask us to come near to you so that you will lay your hands upon all of us, children, young people, elders, and women and men and everyone, dear Lord. We thank you that we feel that the power of the Holy Spirit is poured upon all of us today and now, dear Lord. Help us to feel that we are embraced, Lord. Help us to feel that your mighty hand is really touching our hearts, giving us a hope that because you live, we can face tomorrow. God in heaven, at the moment, I have primarily 7 supplications to bring. Number one, dear Lord, there are many people still infected by COVID-19 and many illness, dear Lord, fighting for their lives, lost their confidence. Please, dear Lord, take away the fear, first of all, from their mind that God is in control. Please, dear Lord, whether they are in hospital, whether they are in the home, please, dear Lord, wherever they are, at the moment, dear Lord, may the angel of the sweetness go there and just pass your mighty healing upon them, dear Lord, so that we will hear hundreds of testimonies by your grace, O Lord. At the moment, we also pray for the family who have lost their loved ones. God in heaven, it is very painful, Lord. Words cannot explain and pacify them. Our presence may not satisfy them. But please, dear Lord, you come by and just touch them and remind them very soon there is a white cloud up here in heaven. And Jesus Christ, with thousands and thousands of angels, will shout by name and the grave will break and people will resurrect. Remind them, dear Lord, and let them wait in Jesus Christ that very soon they can see their loved ones back again. And we also, dear Lord, submit the frontline workers. Please be gracious upon them. And they are completely committing themselves to serve the community. Bless them and bless their families, O Lord. And we also pray for the government leaders and the church leaders. God in heaven, they are trying to bring so many new policies to bring back the economical stability. Please, dear Lord, I don't know how many of us are affected by our work, by our salary, but dear Lord, we know that you are the God of riches and you can supply all our needs according to the riches and the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord. Bless the leaders and give them long life and give them wisdom so that they will lead us and guide us and prompt us and encourage us in a mighty way that we will move forward. God in heaven, we especially bring the people who are really affected and suffering due to cancer. There are many people in the prayer journal, dear Lord. Many people are fighting between life and death. Please, dear Lord, be gracious unto them. God in heaven, when we think it is impossible. That's where you come and say, it is possible for me. Make it happen, dear Lord. And help us to hear the voices of the people who are now suffering from cancer. Later, they will experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. Please, please. And the sixth one, dear Lord, there are many people who are passing through some difficult time in their families. Please, dear Lord, they are completely, completely devastated. And they are experiencing the miserable life in their lives, Lord. Please help them, motivate them, remind them that you are next to them, dear Lord. Tap on upon the shoulder and just let them know that you are there always for them. Please, dear Lord, we are worrying about so many things, but you say, be anxious for nothing. Therefore, because you have said, we come to your holy presence. And finally, dear Lord, we bring the speaker of this hour, Jefferson. Bless him, dear Lord. We thank you that you have chosen him as a messenger for us to bring your message to us. Let no alphabet be his own words, but let it be yours, dear Lord. Anoint him and touch his lips so that our lives will be transformed. Our lives will be touched, dear Lord. God in heaven, with mixed feelings, we came into the Zoom. But when we leave, help us to leave with the message of hope. Bless us once again, dear Lord. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. Thank you so much for admonishing us. Thank you so much for giving us the hope that tomorrow will never be like yesterday and today. Thank you so much for the new mercy that you have set aside for us. Thank you. Thank you once again for the awesome God that we worship. May your name be blessed forever. May your kingdom live forever. May your mighty throne live longer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
COVID or no COVID, our God has been working during this time in a marvelous and a mighty way. We have heard during this 100 days of prayer how God has been so marvelously expanding his ministry around the world. In fact, testimonies have been mentioned during this 100 days of prayer, how God's ministers are doing a wonderful job, even amidst the lockdown. In fact, I don't have to go very far. Our very own pastor has told me several times that during this COVID time, he is so busy that, from the time he wakes up till around 10 o'clock, there has been continuous prayers and meetings that he has to attend, and several times he has been preaching. In fact, we should be very grateful for the ministers of God, not only for our pastor, but also for the ministers in South England Conference and throughout the world division, how ministers have been untiringly working for the sheep throughout this COVID time. And, you might be wondering who pays their tithe. Day before yesterday, I met somebody on the Zoom, one of the pastors in India, and he told me that his salary has been reduced to 1/3 of his real salary, original salary. And I was wondering, how is he surviving? Because he told a sad story, that statistic, that the tithes and offerings have come down by less than 1/3. And that's the reason his salary has been reduced to 1/3. In fact, they also have families. They also have mouths to feed. And I felt very bad. But we are very fortunate that we live in this country and God has blessed us. Pastor was mentioning from the book of Philippians chapter 4, and he mentioned about prayer. But if you go down further to verse 15 of the same chapter, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, there, Paul talks about an interesting he gives an interesting information. He talks about the people in Philippi, and he talks about their generosity in giving. And it says that when he was in Thessalonica, which was 127 kilometers, they sent twice to Paul to support his ministry with offerings. And then again, if you go down to further down to verse 18, he says about his experience that when he was in Rome, in fact, the Rome from the city of Philippi, which is in the northern part of Greece, all the way to Rome, which is around 800 miles. 800 miles, we read from the Bible, five times the people from Philippi sent offerings to support, sent gifts to support the ministry of Paul. Five times, 800 miles in those days, almost took 7 weeks of travel one way. 7 weeks of travel one way, 7 weeks of travel. That means 14 weeks for one trip. I believe five trips they made because they wanted to send their offerings. Today, we are very fortunate. We just don't have to travel 800 miles or 127 kilometers as Philippians travel to give the offerings. We just have in our hands these smartphones and devices. Few touches and few swipes will help us to send the offerings for all of the ministers. There are so many Pauls who are now ministering now. And it is our duty that we have to return to the Lord the offering so that God's work and ministry could be supported. I just want to conclude by reading a verse from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in giving to God. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You know, as this verse says, God has been so generous in giving to us. And he expects in return our generosity in thanksgiving to God. So your offering is in one way a part of thanksgiving to God for his generosity. Shall we all take our smartphones or devices or computers, log into them, and send the blessings back to God so that his work and ministry could be hastened. And I really want to thank you all for taking your time to send your offerings. May God bless you and make you more prosperous and generous. Let me pray for all your offerings which you have sent, which you are going to send for God's cause. So shall we all close our eyes and pray for these offerings. O God and our Father, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, you have bestowed us with generous gifts apart from the life that we have. Lord, we want to thank you for the jobs that we have. We want to thank you for the jobs that pay us weekly or fortnightly or monthly. We are so thankful that we are paid. Lord, you have given to us all these things so that we can sustain ourselves. But also this generosity has been given to us so that we will in turn show our generosity to others. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege, because we know by offering the gifts that you have given to us back to you, or giving back to you, we are in fact giving our thanks. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all the members who have so generously given, even during this COVID time. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will bless their coffers, that you will pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they will not lack in corn and wine and oil And Lord, their barns will be filled with plenty in return for what they are returning back to you. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will accept these offerings, and just as you multiplied in the past, that you will multiply these offerings, Lord, so that they can be used for the furtherance of your cause. We pray in a very special way for all those who are ministering to various congregations around the world. We want to thank you, Lord, despite the difficult situations the pastors and the ministers face, that they have been doing a yeoman and untiring service for the cause of God. I pray that you will bless them. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, none of the ministers or the pastors will go unpaid, and may they not suffer because of not being paid properly. We pray for them in a special way, Lord, that you will bless them. Thank you for the hands that has returned, and I pray that they will be able to testify that you have in return blessed for what they have done for you. In Jesus' holy name, we humbly pray. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. I thought I was muted. The children's story today will be brought to you by Auntie Rachel. I'll tell you a short story that somebody told me, and I'm hoping you're going to learn from the story. There was a hunter who went to hunt, and as he was in the woods, he saw this deer and he started following it. He almost got close to it, but the deer would run away from him. So he followed it down the rivers, into the woods, and right in the depth of the woods. But the deer then got away from him. So he then looked around him. He saw there was nothing familiar in that woods to send him back home. So he started going home. He didn't know where he was. He had no sense of direction. He walked in the woods for 3 days without eating, without drinking anything, because he couldn't find any river, he couldn't find anything to eat. But as he was walking, he started praying. And all of a sudden, he saw this apple tree. Oh, there were lovely apples in the tree. And so he decided, okay, let me get some apples. So he got about 10, 20. He thought, oh, these ones will definitely, by the time I finish them, I would be home. So he decided, no, let me sit and eat these apples. So he sat down and he bit into one of the apples. Tell me how he felt. He felt so thankful. He enjoyed this apple. The apple was so lovely. He'd never, never tasted an apple like that. So he was so thankful. He thanked God. He thanked, he was just overjoyed with his thankfulness. And so he finished this apple. He took the second apple, he bit it. It was not so nice, but he ate it all the same. By the time he got to the fifth apple, it was, oh, this apple. Now he's even looking at the apple. He's thinking, but the red ones are normally the nice apples, and not these ones with the stripes of green as well. By the time he got to the 10th apple, well, he was even spitting some of these apples. What's wrong with them? The first one maybe was nice, but what's wrong with these apples? He would bite into it and he would spit, and he started complaining. So this story teaches us young children to be grateful. Normally, sometimes we are not grateful for the things that we have. Sometimes we expect our moms and dads to provide food on the table. We just take things for granted. That yes, in the morning I need to have breakfast. I need to have lunch. I need to eat. You eat, but you stop to say, thank you, mommy, for the food. Thank you, mommy, for preparing this food. Sometimes we eat and take it for granted. Sometimes mommy comes from work, is very, very tired and cooks. But then you eat it and say, oh, no, I don't like this. I don't want to eat this. Instead of being thankful that mommy has come from work and has prepared this food. Instead of enjoying it, sometimes we complain. We feel as if we are entitled to having these things. Just like the hunter, when by the time he was eating the 10th apple, he was not enjoying it. He felt entitled. He would bite it and spit it. Sometimes that's what we do. We have to stop and sort of be thankful to God for what he has done for us, for giving us our mommies. You look at things that you need to be thankful for God for, or to other people. God gives us the air to breathe. We have to be thankful for that. He gives us the rain. Sometimes when it rains too much, you hear even the adults complaining, oh, it's too much rain. But God knows what he gives us. God knows what we need. He gives us the rain. We start complaining, there's too much rain. I can't go to the shops. I can't do this. We need to be thankful. When he gives us the sunshine, we sometimes complain, oh, it's too hot. But God, young children, knows what we need. That sunshine gives us vitamin D. It gives us light so that we see. But sometimes we are not thankful to God. God gives us health. We wake up in the morning, you're feeling strong, you are running around, you are doing all sorts, you are energetic. We don't stop to thank God for what he's given us. Sometimes God gives us safety. He gives us parents who keep us safe. But sometimes you start comparing your parent with another parent. Oh, Jefferson's mother does this for him. You don't do this for me. Sometimes we, young children, people can be ungrateful. I pray that you be grateful for what God has given you. And the times when, yes, as children, you wake up in the morning, you pray to God. But look at your prayers. How are your prayers? Are you asking God for more before you even thank God for what he has already given you? So the best is to thank God for what he's given you. And God says, yes, ask for more. But we need to be thankful. God wants us to show him gratitude. God wants us to show him that he is the creator. He's created us and he provides for us. And without him, we cannot survive. God wants us to acknowledge and appreciate our blessings every day, young children. Okay, I will read you from the Bible. That is from Psalms 100. If you can follow, if you've got your Bibles, you can follow. If you don't have your Bible right away, you can ask your mom and dad to remind you of the verses that I'll read. I'll read from Psalms 100, verses 3 to 5. It says, know that he is the Lord. He is God. It is he who has made us, not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It is important, young children, to thank God for what he's given us. And now let's have a short word of prayer. If we can close our eyes for the prayer. Oh, kind and loving Father, our Creator God, Lord, we ask that you give us the Holy Spirit to remind us, to teach us to be thankful for the things that we have. We pray and ask all this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Scripture reading, a New King James Version from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud.
The angel will sigh. Happy Sabbath, church. Can you all hear me well? If you can hear me, just put a thumbs up so that I know that you guys, okay. The Pastor Melky, which my dad, I've approved that. Anyway, it is my greatest privilege, as I always say, to come to our Chems. I can't say Chelmsford, Braintree, Malden, and Basildon Church. It is amazing that we all get together in this Zoom channel, Zoom meeting, where we can worship together. Me and my friends, we were talking about this. You know, it is wonderful to know that the devil tried to shut the church buildings, but he couldn't shut the worship. And we praise God that we actually still worshiping every day. And the church building may have shut, but the praise and worship in the houses can never be shut. And I praise God that our churches have become very busiest networking organization like never before, that we always have something that we're going on each day, 100 days of prayer, also Bible studies, youth Bible studies, youth counseling. And there's a lot of youth counseling is going on because of young people getting locked down and being in anxiety. And it's pretty good that, praise God, that God is doing a wonderful job through our churches, even though we are locked down in the house worshiping God. Today, I don't want to take too long, but I just want to get into the message straight. The danger of comparison, the danger of comparison. If there is anyone in your house, you know, usually when I preach, I tell some people in the church to do something, but in your house, if there is anyone who is not sitting with you and listening to this, I request you to please call that person and make them to sit down with you. You can even close the camera if you wanted, but make sure that you have to get this message, because this is a message that we young and old and every age people must hear, because it is the word of God that moved many people. And I praise God, because while I was going through the statistics, what was happening in lockdown, many young people and many adults going through depression and anxiety simply because they compare their lives with another person, and they cause themselves to see that they are not growing or they are not progressing anything in the family or individual life, and they sit there and worry about their life. So it is something that I dedicated to everyone who's listening to this word, the problem that the people are going through. Let's turn our Bible to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I will read from verse 3 onwards. And in the process of time, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 onwards, and in the process of the time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and killed him. Now, this is a very interesting text in Genesis chapter 4. The first, a murder, a bloodshed is taking place in the Bible. But while I was reading it and reading and I was praying, God, give me a message that out of it that we can talk about it to our members, that we can discuss about what is the Bible is actually talking about. I came to a place not only just by own imagination, but listening to other lectures and listening to other pastors and going through some commentators. It is not just an ordinary anger killing, but it is a result of him comparing his offering with Abel's offering. Now I'll come to that. But before that, I will have to pray before we get into the word. Let's all pray. Dear God in heaven, this is your time, Lord. This is your Sabbath time. This is a time that you set aside out of the 7 days, and you let this seventh day to be your day where you rested and you hallowed it and you sanctified it, and in it that you brought us through too. so that we can not only have one or two, three hours of spiritual revival, but a 24 hours spiritual revival. I pray that you speak to us, God, like never before, and comfort our heart. Help us to know that you have a great purpose in our life, which no man can give it and no man can take it. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psychologist says fastest way to destroy your inner self or destroy your peace of mind or destroy yourself mentally, it is to compare. Have you ever been in a position that you might be not compared your financially, but you're sure that we actually compare ourselves with another person's spiritual journey? We see someone is praying a lot and you don't know how to pray, and you compare yourself saying, I cannot pray like other person pray. So guess what? God is not going to listen to my prayer, and I feel weak and I'm not worthy to pray, and I better stop praying. Or someone looks at the way another young person have overcome their problem and they compare themselves with their spiritual journey and said, listen, God has blessed that person, God has helped that person, but he's not doing it to me, or he's not taking interest about my life. And what we don't realize is God have his own way of dealing our individual problem. And what we do is we take other people's life journey and we compare with ourselves with them and say, guess what? No one is doing it. Or how about we compare our family with another person's family and we said that children is doing well, our children is not doing well. What is going on? The husband is treating the wife well, the wife treating the husband well, but in my house, everything is upside down. There is no progress. There is no love. There is no respect. But not knowing some of them that you compare your family with another person, maybe acting outwardly, but inwardly they're going through bigger battle than what you're thinking. Comparison, that we do it. But even in spiritual life, we compare ourselves, and here what the greater deception takes place. Three things I want to share it with you. Three things. Number one, when we compare, our comparison will take you further than you want to go. You think, okay, I'm going to compare myself with that person. And you know what? Comparison is nothing but quenching your desire of satisfaction, knowing that you worked. You know, that you desire yourself. That's the dictionary word they say. It is a process, or you compare yourself with another person thinking, are you better than them? Are you worse than them? And what do you do is, and you react to it. And we started to compare this. And slowly and slowly, hear what I want to tell church, that comparison has no end. The moment you start comparing, you will never come to an end saying, that's enough. First day you wake up and you go to your social media, say WhatsApp group, or as Instagram, or as you go Facebook, or as you go through Twitter, or you go through any social media and you look at somebody and you compare with that person and you're like, I'm not beautiful, or I'm not progressing. My business is not right. My job is not good. I'm not paying enough. Wait a minute, it's not good. And you move it from your bedtime and you go to your own family, and one of your own family member will be progressing in the spiritual life or praying or reading or growing in it. And you're like, no, I cannot do this. And you go to office and you go different places and you come to the same bed knowing that you shattered and you feel that you're worth not living. Comparison has no end. The very first point I want to tell you is comparison will take you further than you want to go. What does it mean? It will steal the peace that God has given you. God has given each one a peace of mind that we can rest upon him, that we can lay our value and our burden to him and say, God, I cannot take this. I cannot go this. But the moment when we compare ourselves with another person, and guess what? We will go further than we want to go and we lose a peace of mind. I've seen young people actually going through something, and I have done with my own self. My dad said, all this time you were smiling, how come that when you looked into the phone like this and you go through something and your peace of mind is gone? You go through that Snapchat and you look at your young people and you look at it and you're like, wait a minute, why she have done that? why he done that, why he got new trainers, or why he got a good life, and he compares off and you lose your peace that God has given to you. Listen to me, families and friends, that this is the time that devil is doing his best to make you feel that God is not actually working in your life. Cain and Abel were called together to do the offering. And you know what? Like, you know it, I know it. When a manager calls us individually, we are right to take criticism. We okay to face whatever the manager, the boss is going to say. Or when pastor calls said, individually, I want to talk to you, we okay. But if it's as a group of people, where three or four gather together and you're having a meeting and they say, you did well, but you didn't do your job. And guess what? We compare and we feel bad that we are not progressing. But I want to take three points from the chapter 4 from verse 6. Till 8, number 1, the comparison will steal the peace of your mind. Number 2, comparison will keep you longer than you want to go. In other words, it will blindfold you by not seeing God's, your own blessing that God has given to you. We look at somebody and they say, wow, they got the blessing. But you don't realize it. God has blessed you with something that they don't have it. What's happening here is Abel's offering is being respected by God, which is praise God that he's been respected, that his offering was respected. But whereas in Cain, he didn't. Yet God spoke to Cain. There are many times that we are trying to compare ourselves with another person, but God is speaking to us saying, listen, I have another purpose for you. I have some other gift for you. I have some other blessing for you that you're thinking you will be satisfied with other people's blessing. But when you compare it, you lose your own blessing. And the devil is very good at blindfolding us. He will blindfold us, our blessings. And he said, guess what? Since God is not dealing with you as he's dealing with another person, how about you just give up God? The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you read the Bible. He does care when you pray, but when you don't make the prayer as your life. And when he started doing it, he simply put seed in your heart saying, wait a minute, the problem that you're going through is too huge. Where is your God now? Look, the other person, she prayed and God heard the prayer and did a great miracle. What about your life? Where is your God now? But God works in a mysterious ways that his wonders and miracles are being performed, not in our human mind thought, but he got a greater purpose. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. The way you thinking things is not the way I think. What we are looking for is temporary satisfaction and solution. But God said, I have an everlasting promises and I have everlasting solutions for you. But you're just worried about this one bit, and this too shall come to pass. And when there's another task, and you're going to just worn out and you just worry. I've seen by God's grace, we do some, while we were in quarantine, we happened to have a team and we started doing every Saturday evening, 5 o'clock, we have this service. And every 3 days we have Bible studies with young people, one-on-one. And we will talk to them and we will ask them how they are doing and how they're keeping. And many young people who didn't become an atheist or agnostic or skeptic, but they're tired of not seeing the real knowledge of God. And they said, man, I compared myself with another girl saying, I cannot sing like her. And when I see her singing more and more and more, I didn't find the gift that I have in us, the gift in me. So I left the church. And so another person that I'm in our own Adventist brother who comes from Reading, he told me, bro, like I find out there is no purpose for me in Christian journey simply because other person are having a great time, but not me. You know, self-discovery is the first step towards spiritual recovery. If you don't take time to pray for ourselves, if you don't take time to think about ourselves, who we are in God's own hand, we're going to lose the battle. It takes the prodigal son to spend his time of himself. Then he said, guess what? In my father's house, there are many blessings that I am wasting over here. I'm looking for some temporary solution. But guess what? I'm going to my father's house. Many of us, if we simply stop comparing ourselves with another person, God will open our eyes and say, here you go. This is the gift that I have given to you. This is the blessing I have laid for you. You may go into something and you find if you wish that you have other person's blessing, you'll be all right. But don't worry. I have time for you, but just stick on it. Christianity is not about trusting and obeying and you find the result instantly. Some people get a result after 10 years. Me and my family, we've been used to praying for our family. They didn't have a baby for one, not only just 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. After 10 years, after 7 years, they have babies. And if we start comparing it, we give place to the devil and he simply blindfold our eyes and let not see the blessing that God has given for us. Number three, comparing yourself will cost you more than you want to pay. Consequence, it will cause you to lose your purpose of life. You know, have you ever been in a position that you compare ourselves, or that we compare ourselves with another person and we lose the purpose that God created us for? God created us to be someone, but we expect our life to be something different by comparing someone. There's they took it as a joke, but this is a fun fact that a lot of young people that India, that my friends who are engineers now, they said simply because I don't know why I studied engineering. I just looked at my friend applying for it and I've applied for it. And guess what? I'm an engineer. I go and play football. Why? Because my friends are playing. So I'm going to play. And here I am comparing myself and trying to live it. Why don't we just take an individual journey that we hold our hands with God and say, God, what is the purpose that you have for me? What is that you have for me that I want to look at it? Abel was called to, and Cain was called to repent from his desire, from his anger, from his sin. God said to him, listen, if you don't take your chance right now, the sin is at the door waiting to desire to take your life. But guess what? You can simply repent now. Which, in other words, God called Cain to be a worshiper, but because he gave so much time comparing himself, he became a killer. There is so many of us, God called us for a special purpose in times like this. I would say in times like this, so many of us were busy with working. I'll take a time, I'll say this, so many of us were busy with our games, busy with self-centered in social media, busy with everything. And when church comes and say, we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, why don't you come in? You say, I'm busy with night shift. You say, why don't you come for Friday prayer meeting? We say, I'm so sorry, I have a family time. You know, Sabbath is a family time. I ain't got time for it. And God called, said, why don't you do some evangelism now? At least now. He said, God, I ain't got no time for it. You know, I have bills to pay. God said, why don't you just come for the youth meeting? No, God, you know, I have a football. I have this fashion show. I have this series to finish. I have the homework to do. And guess what God said? I'm going to shut everything down that you will find only place that you with me. Not just 1 week, not just 3 weeks, but 3 solid months. And it will keep going on until we change our mind from saying, no, it is not about me. It is not about them. It is about him. We spend so much time on ourselves and God was so tired on missing us. And he said, guess what? I'm going to lock down everything so that you will learn a lesson. You have nothing but me who can give you a life. Cain was called to be a worshiper, but he ended up being a killer. Listen, church, that I can say testimony after testimony, but nothing will change my mind and nothing will ever come closer. I pray it will come closer, but there is one testimony that was so closer to me, and I did share it with you, and I will share it with you again. Going to Malaysia, doing evangelism with many young people, baptizing after 15 young people, they asked me to come to a house to pray. And going inside that bed, and I'm seeing a sister laid on the bed with AIDS and cancer, simply because she trusted a guy who would take care of her. And when she was young, everyone had a relationship, but she didn't have it. And the friends were mocking at it. They said, look at you. You still being, you know, young and you're beautiful and you don't have a boyfriend. You are not in a relationship. Why don't you just get someone and stop living? You missing life, man. You missing something. Why don't you just get somebody and she's doing it? And she was comparing herself with another person interested about doing it, and she compared herself with Christians and she couldn't find any joy in there. So now she's comparing herself with a worldly person, and here comes a guy who came, lived with her, and he messed up that relationship. When she found out that she got AIDS, he left her. He said, see ya, bye bye, I don't need you anymore. Being that alone, in 2 weeks time she's finding out that she got cancer too. Such a lady like that, stretched on the bed, waiting for time to close her eyes, she said, you know what? It's time for me to pray. And she said a prayer, and she started reading the Bible, and she said, I want to go to church. So they put her on a wheelchair, brought her to the camp meetings, listening to the sermon, and here she is. And she said, I want to be baptized. Got baptized, not only being baptized, she was using her testimony to the young people, brought 10 more young people, and some of them were local gangsters in Malaysian Ipoh, a place called Ipoh. From there, they brought her into the church. And here they said, Pastor, I just got one more month, but here are a few young people. Take them, do with something. And she laid to rest. A closest testimony in my heart. She said, I compared, and not realizing the consequence will steal my peace of mind, blindfold my present blessing, and third, it will make me to lose the purpose that I born for. Many of us in our church, we compare ourselves too much, not realizing we worn out and we broken out. But it's time to make change. But how do we do it? How do we do it? Galatians chapter 6, as the sister read for the scripture reading. Let's turn our Bible to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. I will read it from New Living Translation, which makes more simple. It says, each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Assume your own responsibilities. Paul says, guess what? You need to stop focusing on other people. You need to stop comparing your spiritual life with another person's spiritual life. You need to stop comparing your gift with another person's gift. God called you for some special purpose. The Bible says, he that started a good work in you shall accomplish unto the day of Christ. He didn't say he that started a good work in a pastor, in a person alone, and he will help you so that you will finish the work. He didn't say, I started it, I know how to finish it. You mess up the plan, it doesn't mess up my purpose in your life. I will take it and I'll mold it and I'll shape it and I'll use you until the time comes. And you just stop comparing yourself. So the very first thing Paul said, focus on your own responsibility. Focus on your own life that God given you. Why do we have to take a time to go and compare other person's life when the other person's life is completely dramatic than yours? They might be smiling outside saying, I'm good, God is good all the time, everything is all right, my business is going well. But deep inside, you don't know how many times they're crying nine times. And you compare about their outward look. And he said, I want to be like that. Young people said, I want to be that, like that celebrity. But they go and they compare themselves and they want to buy clothes just like they wear, put those things on their face just like them, put those shoes on their feet just like them. And guess what? When the character changes, another character comes, another behavior begins. We looking for temporary satisfaction. God said, I have something else. So just focus on what I have started in your life. When was the last time we took time to pray for ourselves? Lord, what do you actually call me to do? I think I might be singing, but not knowing that I'm a good writer. God, you called me to actually preach, but not knowing that I can also sing. Lord, I don't know that you call me to be a musician, but not knowing that I can pray and heal people in Jesus' name. God, I have a great spiritual gifts that what we confuse is, we confuse our passion with the purpose. And God said, no, separate it. Focus on what I called you for. And here I am starting a good work in you. Paul said, focus on yourself, not on others. Your competition should be within yourself, not with others. You have to be a better version than who you were yesterday. Number two, Galatians chapter 6, 4 to 5, when we read it, it says, cherish and be grateful for your own growth, which God provided. And number three, celebrate and be respectful for others who achieved, and not being pride and jealousy about what others are doing. There are so many people in the church that we don't know their story, what they did before. We say happy Sabbath, we give a high five to them, and we say goodbye, see you next week. But if we just simply take time to sit down and listen to their stories, I have heard by individual conversation, Chisha is a guy that helped me. I said, man, you got to go and talk to everybody. I said, all right, let's talk. And when we go and talk to individually a person, and when their stories are come out, they've been through so much, and they just started into the church. And when they do something great thing, and sadly, not in a church, but sadly, not the churches, where people started to feel jealous about them, feel pride about them, feel talk bad about them. But guess what? When I see some of their attitude towards the response, the reaction towards the criticism, they just simply pray, smile, keep doing what they're doing. We got to celebrate and mentor our young people. We got to celebrate and appreciate our adults. I was listening to some songs and it says that it doesn't take an individual to change the whole community. It takes a young people's energy and elders' wisdom to change the community. It takes, when was the last time we sat down and say, elder, tell me a story, man. We love you too. We as a young people, we give you respect. We tell you, tell us what you are. Tell us what you've been through. And when we started to appreciate others' people blessing, guess what, church? That church is not like a multifunctional, some group of people. No, we come together as sinners, seeking the Savior who's our physician to fix our heart that's being damaged by the disease of pride, of sin, and selfishness. And God said, I will take care of you. You are different parts of the bodies, but you're in one body. You're different organs, but you're in one body where you can be played well in the community. By God's grace, I thank God that we Adventism are good at help messages. We are good at knowing what is law and prophecies. We know a lot of great things, but we forgot along the way how to love one another. We come along the way that we forgot the basic thing is to forgive one another. We have come a long way that we compare ourselves. We started to lose our own peace of mind, lose the purpose that why God created us for. So I pray that when we are in quarantine, that we will overcome this too, while we are overcoming the lockdown. That while we are here, we will start asking God, God, what do you really want me to do in the church that you brought me to? What do you want me to do, the greatest message of Adventism that you've given me in the time that we and that I'm living in? Am I just going to compare myself with another person and going along, or am I going to create something? That, Lord, it is wonderful to see that we living in a generation that I can use iPhone X, but I'm sorry, Lord, my lifestyle with you is still Nokia 1100. That it's so wonderful to see that the world is going fast, but my spiritual life is still low. That we are fascinated and we are interested to talk about a lot of people, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, we reluctant and we said, you know what? He's a great God that we worship. But anyway, you come to church on Saturday and we will tell you more. But why don't we say that time right there, right itself, and say, you know, man, sit down. Let me tell you the wonderful character of love of Jesus. God have great value for you. He respects you and he's not ashamed of your fall. There's a lot of people. I want to finish it with this. There's a lot of us. When we pray, we say, God, are you too ashamed of my sinful behavior? God said, I'm not ashamed of it. If I was ashamed of it, I won't be a savior. I am a savior who embraces your weakness, embraces who you are. But hear what it is. I love you with all my life, but I'm not liking what you're doing. And I'm going to help you only if you let me in into your life. We are very good at inviting Christ into the church part of our life, not the whole part of our life. We want Christ to come into the Sabbath service, but we don't want Christ to come to our relationship with our partners. We want Christ to come into service, but we don't want him to come for our business. And if he comes in, if you let him in, he not only make you to be the person that God wants you to be, but he also make you to be a better Christian. So in this quarantine time, I request and I'm asking you to take a commitment that you love him and that you will see your life through him and not comparing yourself with others where you can be deceived and worn out and get damaged of your spiritual life. God bless you all. Amen. So gracious enough to do greater thing in our life. Father in heaven, we come to thy presence. We are so thankful for who you are in our life, God. When the world is worshiping after many gods, and the world that is worshiping themselves, we are so thankful that we worshiping you, the true living God, who came into this earth to die for our sins, and you resurrected again, and you in heaven mediating for us in the heavenly sanctuary, Lord. We are so thankful. We come to that presence. We as a Chelmsford family, we as a Molden family, we as a Braintree family, and we as a Basildon family, coming to that presence. Thank you for calling us by our name individually to come to thy presence. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're changing our lives in this lockdown. Thank you for taking away whatever is not ours, and thank you for bringing us into thank you for you bringing something into us that is yours, God. And Lord, while we are going through a lot of things, help us to never give up on what you called us for. Help us not to compare ourselves with another person and feel worried and distressed that we are nothing but just a piece of that. Lord, help us not to think like that way, but help us to have a mind that will tell us that we are precious in God's eye. We are called to do something than to be a merely a person. Lord, we are so thankful for you doing a great work in these four amazing churches. I pray for the families. Bless them, Lord, whoever going through sickness and this time, they don't want to share it outside, but they keep it in themselves inside the doors and they worry, Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, heal them, give them a peace of mind. Lord, I pray for the families who's going through financial struggles. Again, they don't want to say it outside because it may be embarrassing to them. Lord, I pray that you please clear out the debts and give us wisdom how to take care of our blessings. Lord, I pray for the families who are losing their children out of the spiritual life, who are leaving their churches, leaving Christ. They don't want to be with Christ anymore. I'm praying for those families. Give strength to the parents to endure this pain, to go through this pain. And Lord, I pray, bring those young people back, God. Take care of them. Tell them to know that the world is just a place that's going to be vanished and there is another world to come. In that, it's time for us to prepare our lives. I pray for the young people who caught up with addiction and adults who caught up with addiction, things that they're not supposed to see, things that they're not supposed to see, things they're supposed not do it, and by their heart. Lord, I pray, please cleanse our heart from all these things. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us a new life that we will have a great relationship with you, loving you and being true to you and be true to other people. Lord, I pray for the leaders of this church, from the pastors to the last person who's taking responsibility in this church. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Give them wisdom, give them strength, give them the power of the Holy Ghost, that they be baptized by the Holy Spirit every day, that they will do marvelous things in the community through this platform of the church. Lord, I pray that you take care of individually until we meet again. Amen.
Thank you, our young pastor Jefferson, for that timely message, the power of comparison. It is indeed a powerful message, and we need to learn to focus on what God has called us to and not compare ourselves with somebody else. Thank you, everyone, for being part of this worship experience, especially our friends who have joined us for the first time. May the Lord bless us as we, you know, continue to live the life that he has called us to. Thank you for the Sabbath School team, for all the lessons that we've learned.